National Gallery podcast.
Hello, I'm Miranda Hinckley. In this episode of the National Gallery podcast, a new exhibition opens to mark the bicentenary of the Act of Parliament which abolished the slave trade. Artist Yinka Shonibari, MBE, explains why his contribution teems polemic with playfulness. And
I can't remember the words.
The halls are alive with music as choirs from across London prepare to serenade gallery goers. And there are more smiles to begin with, courtesy of the Dutch Portrait Exhibition sponsored by Shell, which opened on the 27th of June. After gaining its independence from Spain in the 16th century, the Dutch Republic experienced a period of unprecedented wealth. This led to an explosion in portrait painting as people from all walks of life had their likeness made. The new exhibition brings together some of the most celebrated results, including many works rarely seen outside the Netherlands. And among them, there's an intriguing group of pictures where the sitters simply beam out at the viewer. They're all the work of one artist. Leah Caribbean met up with the curator of Dutch pictures, Betsy Wiesman, to find out more.
The pictures for the Dutch Portraits exhibition are being hung, and it's rather exciting as there's some stupendous pictures emerging from the packing cases here. Among them, 9 masterpieces by Rembrandt and about a dozen by Frans Hals. Now, Betsy, I know that everybody probably has heard of Rembrandt, but people may not know of Frans Hals. They may have heard of The Laughing Cavalier, perhaps. But do you think his name deserves to be better known?
Absolutely. I think he's going to emerge from the exhibition as a real triumph and a real surprise for people. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why we chose a painting by Frans Hals for the posters. And the other thing that I think people will be completely charmed by in Frans Hals's paintings is that many of them present the sitters smiling. And it's so unusual to have portraits of people smiling or laughing in the 17th century. Well, we know the Laughing Cavalier. Obviously, he's quite pleased with himself. But in this exhibition, we have 2 portraits especially that are remarkable in that sense. One in the first gallery is a marriage portrait of Isaac Massa and Beatrix van der Laan. It was a completely revolutionary portrait to have a young married couple, quite wealthy, seated in a garden in very relaxed poses. They're embracing, their bodies are relaxed into each other, and they're smiling. You know that they're just filled with that newlywed bliss.
Now, what's that about? Is that to do with the fact that the Dutch had a more relaxed attitude to portraiture, or is it actually something to do with a sense of confidence?
I think in part it's that the Dutch Republic at that time was a new bourgeois society, a self-made nation. It was governed on a more democratic representational basis. It wasn't a monarchy, so there was a sense of equality and possibility.
And there's another picture by Frans Hals where a child of a very wealthy family appears alongside her nurse, and it's a double portrait, really. It's not just a servant-child relationship, is it? It's something more
Absolutely
than
that. Absolutely not. This is the infant Catharina Hooft and her nurse, and I think people will be surprised that it's not a child and her mother, because the bond is really just as intimate. We need to remember that in the Netherlands in the 17th century, wealthy children were generally raised by a wet nurse until about 1 year of age. So they had that very, very close bond with their nurse, and you can feel that in this portrait. It's absolutely charming. We weren't sure until the very last minute that painting was going to be included in the exhibition. So in a way, it's a surprise to us as well, and such a treasure to have it here. The way it's situated in the gallery, you see it through a succession of doorways, almost as if it's in one of those fabulous 17th century Dutch interiors. It's such a magnetic, compelling painting. You're drawn to it. You almost feel like the child is going to reach out for you and want to, you know, grab your cheek.
So come to the exhibition for Frans Hals, if for nothing else.
Absolutely. And there's much more.
Betsy Wiesman. If you'd like to see Hals' portraits for yourself, the Dutch Portrait Exhibition, sponsored by Shell, runs until September. For tickets and more information, visit www.nationalgallery.org.uk. Now, picture the English upper class in the 18th century, and you probably think of pampered aristos with powdered hair, sparkling jewels and opulent frocks. But a new exhibition aims to subvert the familiar image to remind us of the exploitation on which this luxurious lifestyle was based. To mark the bicentenary of the Act of Parliament which abolished the slave trade, scratch the surface will see mannequins of pheasant-shooting toffs installed in the gallery. And they'll be dressed, not in historic finery, but bright African fabrics from a South London market. Curator Jonah Albert and artist Yinka Shonibari told me more. Jonah Albert, you're the curator of Scratch the Surface. Can you tell me what you wanted to achieve with this exhibition?
What this exhibition does is look at the way that there's links between the National Gallery and the transatlantic slave trade by using two paintings. The painting of Mrs. Oswald by Sofony and a painting of Colonel Bannister Tarleton by Reynolds. During the 18th century, lots of people made lots of money from the transatlantic slave trade. And one of the ways that these people displayed their wealth was to commission portraits of themselves and also to collect art. So these people made money in the slave trade, but when they have their portraits done, you know, the Africans are missing. The people that they captured, the people who worked hard on their plantation in order for them to have those beautiful, beautiful garments that, say, Mrs. Oswald's wearing, to be able to sit in Reynolds' studio and have your portrait painted. You know, behind them is an African presence.
And you've invited an artist, Yinka Shonibari, to produce a piece that speaks specifically to these two portraits.
Absolutely. Scratch the Surface happens in two parts. The first part happens in room one, where these two paintings are going to be put together. And then the exhibition looks at the way that these two sitters are linked to the slave trade. That's what happens in room one. In the Barry rooms, Yinka Shonibari has been invited to create new work that speaks to the theme of the exhibition and also to the two portraits.
And part of what Yinka Shonibari's installation is going to do is make some of that history more visible, perhaps.
Absolutely. Yinka's work looks at the kinds of, you know, it looks at leisure activities, because you made your money, you collected art, you had your portraits done, you had a great house out in the country, and you hunted, you went shooting, those kinds of things, those kinds of pastimes. And what Yinka's work speaks to is to the kind of lifestyle that these people had.
I'm sitting in the Barry Rooms with Yinka Shonibari. Good morning, Yinka.
Good morning, yes.
Yinka, can you describe what visitors will see when they come in here, when your work is up?
Yes. Basically, the paintings will be removed and I will install sculptures of the figures. And so what people will see, there will be a pheasant above their head, and the feathers of the pheasant are kind of exploding around the pheasant that's just been shot. So they will be fully, their whole body will be engaged, because they have to look up into the center of the room. And the two figures will be pointing their guns towards that pheasant. And so they're wearing this sort of 18th century aristocratic costumes, made out of African textiles, and I buy the fabrics from Brixton Market. So I like this kind of double play.
There seems to be running through all of your work a kind of tension between a playfulness and a mischievous humour, and at the same time the serious subject matter that the work's addressing, kind of human misery essentially and degradation. And how do you kind of, can you talk to us about that tension?
I think that if I were to just produce a polemic and I said to people, you know what, you know, slavery is bad, slavery was terrible in the way that it manifested itself, and look at me, you know, my ancestors are the victims of slavery, I think people would be rather bored and they just switch off. And also I think that actually with humor and, you know, with paradox as well, you're more likely to actually engage people and get them to think a bit further. But also, you know, we are of a different generation. You know, we're 21st century people. I'm not one for beating people over the heads for what their ancestors did. You know, that was then. This is now. And I hope that you know, people can learn from the past, from the mistakes of the past.
Yinka Shonibari with a preview of Scratch the Surface. The exhibition opens at the gallery on the 20th of July and admission is free. Next up, with musicals more popular than ever and TV schedules dominated by shows about wannabe crooners, singing is enjoying a renaissance. And the organisers of a new festival, Sing London, want us all to join in. Events will be held around the city in the first week of July, and if you visit the National Gallery on Saturday the 7th, you'll find singers roaming the halls. In preparation, choirs from across the capital attended a workshop to learn how to bring the gallery's paintings to life. I went along to find out what a group of singing bus drivers have planned.
Oh, when the saints go marching in, join in. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
Hi, I'm Lee Riley, and I'm organising the Sing London event at the National Gallery. At the National Gallery, we've got around about seven choirs, and they're going to be singing in the gallery. And we've been working with them, and they've been inspired by some of the paintings that they're going to sing about. They're using songs that range from classic through to contemporary. And it's about getting the public to join in and enjoy singing with them.
Sunday. So Sing London is a festival to make the city sing and to make bring people together in song. And that's different than singing at someone. The idea is to persuade people to sing with you. And by persuading them to sing with you, they have fun, they come out of themselves, they begin to sort of relax about the city and other people. So the outcome is that they've loved singing, but they've also loved interacting with other people.
My name is Christian Johnson. I work for Arriva, London South, and I drive the buses. A couple of weeks ago, there was a notice up on my notice board that the choir, Sing London, or Sing Along Choir, Arriva wants some people to sing for the company. And, well, I think I'm a good singer, so I signed up.
Hi, my name is Nelson Oduwale, and I work with Arriva London South, and I'm a controller. Apparently, Arriva don't have a choir, and this actually is the first time we all have come together as a choir.
Just to put it into context, not all of us understand why we're here. Right? Just by looking on some of the faces. Okay,
oh, yes.
We'll go into that later on this afternoon. But what we're doing now, why you're doing what you're doing, is just being inspired by the paintings.
Yes.
Just go along and take them in. Absorb them. And what we're going to do later is translate some of them into song. That's what we're going to do.
All the pictures around the gallery tell stories, a lot of them do. So if you look around here...
Hello, hi, good afternoon. I'm Colin Anderson. We're doing a workshop this afternoon. We've looked round and seen many paintings. And this afternoon, we're going to actually work together to see how we, as a choir, as a group of singers, we take songs that we do, styles that we know, that we're familiar with, and connect them with the pictures. The focus is all about the pictures, how we can turn those pictures from something just visual to a song.
My name's Kevin Hayes. I'm general manager for Arriva London North, and about 1,000 drivers and 300 buses. So we came up with lots of songs. Things like Waterloo Sunset and Amazing Grace was another one. I've forgotten them all now. Lots of moonlight songs, but we were really stumped to find a moonlight painting. So it's amazing. Once your mind gets going, you can think of lots of songs, and then you start looking for a painting to fit the song.
I've been singing in groups, like a church choir. I've sung loads of times. I love singing, whether it's classical, whether it's pop, whether it's jazz. I mean, anything to deal with music, I love it. So anything to deal with music, I will be there. Trust me, I will be. and here I am. And, I mean, it's been lovely. I mean, I've been around the gallery and some paintings have inspired us, and it'd be great. I think that they will be great.
I can't remember the words. I can't remember the words.
Preparations for Sing London. And if you'd like to see and hear the end result, the choirs will be performing in the gallery on Saturday, the 7th of July. And finally, a new audio tour is available. The Be Inspired Trail is sponsored by Expedia and features interviews with artists, sculptors, cartoonists and photographers who have been inspired by the pictures in the collection. You can hear a short extract on the bonus track that accompanies this episode. The full tour is available free from audio desks in the gallery or can be downloaded from iTunes or www.nationalgallery.org.uk, where you can also find details of all the events and exhibitions taking place in July. Until next month, goodbye.